like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. So shine bright.
Catch my operator. Won't let him get me down. It's all so simple now. It's all so simple. joke.
The home of the hits.
You're the best.
Put your hands in the air.
Your hit music station.
This is
94.7 KSKU.
Sterling Great Band.
Hutchinson.
Don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks. This ain't no matter if I'm right. Means to open up the dialogue. So rise up, shout out, it's time for your voice to be heard. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks.
All right, good morning everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of Cody Talks. It's January 27th. 2013. Who'd have thought we'd have made it this far in life in general, let alone have 31 episodes of a silly radio show. Current events, I kind of got away from at the beginning of the show when we first got started. I kind of always did this personal current event or what's going on in my house. As you can tell, consistency is probably just not my forte, but I think I've got a couple of personal current events. We tried like heck and almost had a guest scheduled for today that at least called himself an expert on the Benghazi thing and Hillary Clinton's testimony in front of Congress about her role as a Secretary of State. I think that's something we all need to pay attention to because I think there was a real letdown there. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I don't think that someone was doing anything undermined really as much as I think we have a government that sometimes is scared to be perceived as using too much force. And that's fine. That needs to be a consideration, but not at the risk of human lives. So on with that. I don't know enough of exactly what went on, and I've made a commitment to myself that this radio show wasn't going to be about me screaming and yelling and thinking that I knew everything that was going on in government, because I don't, and I don't want to sound like an idiot. And the Twitter bio for this show is, I can't say one of the words, but that the goal of the show, paraphrasing, that the goal of the show is to prove that you could get some viewers or listeners without being a jerk. I don't use the word jerk.
That's the safe way to do it.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, I don't think that we live in a society that that you have to be an arrogant know-it-all and yell and make fun of people just to provide entertainment. I could be wrong. By no means have I proven the world right with the millions of viewers that we have every Sunday morning, or proven myself right that with the millions of viewers. But I like the conversation, and to have intelligent conversation, the first step that you have to take is literally admitting, at least to yourself, that you don't know everything. Otherwise, it's not conversation. It's just childish arguing because you won't listen and learn and grasp things. But anyway, on a personal current event side, state of things, my daughter is 15 years old, and at the end of May, really at the beginning of May, in a soccer game, blew her ACL and which is the anterior cruciate ligament in her right knee, which I've learned a whole lot about that because a lot of people say, yeah, he blew his ACL. And at least I, prior to this, didn't even really know what an ACL was. I just threw it around because sports fans do that with injuries. But she blew her ACL and tore her meniscus, missed postseason soccer, missed all of her school's volleyball, both of which are things that she loves to do. And this last Sunday, really in November, she got cleared to start working out and practicing again and doing things. And so she's been doing volleyball workouts with her mom, who is her club or away from school volleyball coach. And she's been going to the Y and working out and trying to get back into shape and get healthy again. And this Sunday, her team, which is the Salt City Smash 16-1, which they could have come up with a more creative name than 16-1, in my opinion. But her team went to a tournament in Wichita, which every time you go to Wichita, it's kind of you're going to the big city from Hutchinson, right? You never know what type of competition you're going to get. They went over there and went, I believe, 13-1 in the tournament. Won their age division in the tournament. And immediately jumped into first place rankings to the first place ranking spot in their association, which is basically all the club volleyball being played in Kansas and Missouri in their age division. So it was really big. I missed the first game last Sunday morning because of this silly show that you make me do, Heath. And it was her first game back, and it was really hard for me to miss her first game back after basically being off of doing anything competitive for about 9 months. I guess 7 months. But anyway, she's back. She got a great team. She got a pretty good coach. I have to say that because we sleep in the same bed. But she has a really good coach and a really good team, and it was a pretty exciting time around our house for the team to come back from 8 or 9 months off from club volleyball, and for Bailey to be back in her first competitive scenario ever or since the knee surgery. So congratulations, sis. It was probably just as exciting for your mom and dad as it was for you, even though we maybe didn't make as big a fools of ourselves celebrating. So congratulations, Bailey, and congratulations to everyone out there that's ever accomplished something like that, and to the Salt City Smash 16-1, number one ranked in Heart of America Volleyball. The other current event that I have is also a somewhat of a personal thing. This week on Tuesday, Heath will correct me if I'm wrong. On Tuesday, my dad has been the chief of police in Hutchinson, Kansas, my hometown here, since 1992, which is 21 years. But he's been in law enforcement in this community for 40 years now. And on Tuesday, he was honored by the city of Hutchinson and given a certificate. And the Hutch News did a really good article in the local radio stations. It was covered very well, and 40 years of being a police officer, doing anything to serve your community in one place is a big accomplishment, in my opinion. So I wanted to just give a shout out to my dad, who I think has always kind of, part of it is he really is living his dream of wanting to be, I think he wanted to be John Wayne as a kid. He just wanted to be the good guy that did the right thing and helped people. And that's what led him to want to be a police officer. And now he's gotten to do it for 40 years. And I think all in all, he would consider it a pretty good life because of it. And
didn't he get some kind of board recognition too, somewhere in the state here too? Is he on like some...
Oh, yeah, he's been on several committees. He's been to the FBI Academy. He was on several FBI advisory academies, advisory boards. He was the president of the Kansas Association of Chiefs of Police. You do anything for 40 years, and you're going to get drug into doing other things as well. No, he's pretty good at what he does. He makes me proud. He makes our whole family proud. He makes my kids proud. And I think he should make this community proud. He's done... an awful lot for this community. The thought process behind me sitting and thinking about it off and on over the last couple of days is part of what's led to the main show topic today, which the title of the show today is Ask What You Can Do for Your Community, It's kind of my little play off of John F. Kennedy's quote, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I think that people like my dad, and there's tons of them out there. I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal as the only one around. But I think it is getting less and less common. And it's something that we need more and more. So we're going to spend some time talking about it today. So to summarize, I think we screwed up in Benghazi. Congratulations to my daughter. Congratulations to my dad. And let's jump right into the concept of what today's show is going to be. Basically, because I didn't drag the current events out long enough to make it to where I want the first commercial break to be. I think that we're in a point in this country where, and we're always going to be at this point, honestly, where things just aren't as good as they could be. We're at a point now where they've tipped over the last 4 or 5 years into they're worse off than they should be. And I hope that makes sense, because we're never going to have this perfect utopia that a lot of people think that we should focus our efforts on achieving. And as long as we continue to focus our efforts on a utopia, we're actually really going to limit, prohibit, and slow down getting anything good done that actually makes the situation tangibly better. And examples of that are trying to develop federal programs that are all encompassing to help everyone that's in financial need across the United States, all 400 million people or 300 and whatever it is. I'm a firm believer in having programs and support structures in place for any American that, any human being, really. Discussion today is about the United States of America. But when you try and make giant plans that are going to solve everyone's problem with one plan, it just doesn't work. And we've proven it over and over again that it's actually less efficient than it is successful. And therefore, it costs more money than can possibly be put into it. It takes more time than can possibly be put into it. If you have a horrible plan to accomplish the task, and it's a never-ending task, meaning it's you can make an analogy that's like you have a hole in a dam, and there's water leaking out of it, and the water is actually eroding away the dam. Now, you might have to do a big silly plan in the beginning to slow it down, but then if you don't sit down and come up with a good plan to tackle every individual leak in that dam, you're not going to, it's actually going to leak and erode away faster, no matter how big your plan is. Once you get the huge initial surge slowed down, you have to take your time and develop a plan for each and every individual hole in that dam, fix them properly with their own specific and individual way, because you can't just build a new dam. You can't just build a giant new dam, because before you get it done, the other one will have blown away and everything will have washed away. And it's the way we attack our problems in the United States too much, from a top-down perspective of here's one plan that 400 or 500 people in Washington, D.C. fight for 7 years to come up with one plan. And that plan doesn't apply to Hutchinson, Kansas, or to Chicago, Illinois, or to Tucumcari, New Mexico. And the way to fix these problems, the way to have tangible, successful, and purposeful progress on these problems is from the bottom up. Is individual people doing their share to fix the problems, to make things better And I firmly believe, and I think that the facts are in place to prove that it's the only way that we're ever going to make the situations that upset us better. We talk about a government that's of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it was the most genius inclusion that our forefathers, founding fathers, put in our governmental system. But the people can't sit around and expect the government to do everything if you want it to be a government for the people, of the people, and by the people. With that in mind, let's do go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back and get into more specifics of what I'm talking about.
The Divinity of Purpose 2013 Tour.
Wednesday, February 6th, 6 p.m.
Wichita's Cotillion Ballroom.
Free, destroy everything. Just tell me what friends buy.
Grammy dominated best metal performance.
Free, free.
Return to the Tours.
Take
Free with special guest, two-time Grammy nominee, Shadow Storm. Shadow Storm. Take
Free
Wednesday, February 6th.
Take
Free. Shadows Fall, Dying Fetus, The Contortionists, Hardcore Metalcore Meltdown.
Take your tickets on sale now.
Cotillion Box Office.
Website.
Facebook page.
316-722-4201.
Wednesday, February 6th.
The Divinity of Purpose 2013 Tour.
Take Free.
Take Free.
Shadows Fall,
Dying Fetus,
The Contortionists.
Doors early at 6 p.m.
Cotillion Ballroom, Wichita.
Can you tell if these vegetables are being contaminated with bacteria that could cause paralysis? Listen, you can't see it either. Use different cutting boards so that the bacteria in raw meats and seafood and their juices doesn't touch prep surfaces for other foods like veggies. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
KSKU.
Cody Toms.
All right, we're back. I left my power cord in the car. The computer died. I ran out to get it. I'm out of breath. We may have to just call it. I'm fat and out of shape. Anyway, community service. The title of the show today is Ask What You Can Do for Your Community. Obviously, it stems off of the quote from John F. Kennedy, who was, in my mind, minus some of the private issues that don't matter because of the word private rights, his private life, so it doesn't matter. But it was a great president that understood that working from the ground up was really the single way to make progress in this country. That if you have issues in your community, but what do we mean by community real quick? Because I think it's very important to focus on community, how we've lost a sense of community since the days of the Andy Griffith Show in Mayberry, and the reasons that we've lost it. The reasons that we've lost it are that it's deteriorated, or first of all, what is your community? Community is a group of people that you interact with on a regular basis. It doesn't mean your town. If you live in Los Angeles, that's not your community. Your community is the group of people around you that you interact with on a regular basis, not a daily basis. Sometimes it's people you don't see but once a month or once every other month, but the community aspect of it has deteriorated. People's groups have gotten smaller. People interact with those people less, and those communities have tightened up. And you're going to hear a lot of people say comments like kids these days or this generation, and it's all garbage. People still care. People still care about their neighbors and the people around them. It's really a time issue, a get involved issue. And to some extent in community programs, it's an overbearing government issue of people have quit caring and quit being involved as much. A, because there's of time constraints. There's just so many more things in the world, and such a diversified group of things in the world that take our time away from caring about our community or make us think we don't have time to get involved with our community. That's the number one factor in why community has deteriorated. But beyond that, there's also the aspect that every time community deteriorates a little bit, Washington, D.C. or Topeka sees a need, sees something that the community used to take care of not being taken care of anymore. They blame it on population, that the community can't handle that service anymore. And then with a good heart and good intentions, they step in and send a program down that doesn't necessarily apply or work, because they're 1,700 miles away from us. They're not in the community. They're not involved. They don't understand. And it's not to say that parts of the program doesn't work. It's not to say that the program is not a good program. It's just when you try to develop a system or a program that's going to help 350 plus million people's communities, there's no way it's going to work everywhere. And then when it doesn't work, it creates animosity. It creates waste and misusage. The way to fix the vast majority of these problems is to come from the ground up, people to get back to realizing that it is their issue to make this country strong and profitable. You can't sit back and consume so much time worrying about politics and politicians saving your tail in your situation or saving your neighbor, and really get down to the point that if you want your situation to be better, the number one person responsible for that is you. And if you have a heart and realize that your neighbor's situation needs to be a little bit better, really, the number one person that ought to step in and help them is you. Now, it sounds like I'm laying it all on you, right? But if everyone gets back to the, you know, really nobody had this whole government taking care of the people figured out any better than the Native Americans did. And they worked in what can be described as a true city-state government, where the people in the – there was – I don't know how many people know this, but there was nations of Native Americans, right? The Cherokee Indians were not a tribe. That was a nation, which was a group of tribes. Sioux were the same way. That wasn't a tribe. It was a nation. The tribes could be the analogy that the tribes were like states and the nation was like a federal government. It was their Washington, D.C. They didn't have people that went and sit anywhere, but they did have a government process set up of a nation and then city-state organizations underneath that were very independent, and people took care of the people next to them in their city state, and they didn't go to the bigger group when someone in their group needed health care, or when someone in their group wasn't able to feed themselves anymore, or when someone in their group needed punished for a crime that they committed. They didn't go to a larger entity because that larger entity might have then developed a program that worked for their tribe, but didn't work for any of the other tribes within the nation. And our founding fathers looked at that, and they saw how successful and self-sufficient that type of government or that type of structure was. And we've gotten away from it in drastic ways in the United States. Again, the two reasons we've gotten away from it: people's time has become so consumed with Facebook and TMZ, as well as legitimate things like kids sports, working a second job, keeping up with the Joneses and keeping the house up and all of these things. But I think the driving factor behind that and the single biggest reason is we've gotten to the point that we just expect the government to fix it. And really some of that's the government's fault for laying claim and looking back. And, you know, so many people have all this respect for John F. Kennedy as a president, but don't listen to his words. He was telling us that in his words. I think he was telling us that Washington, D.C. is getting too big. Quit asking us to solve the problems. And in Washington, D.C., quit asking Washington, D.C. to solve the problems and start figuring out how to solve them on our own as communities. And it doesn't mean, you can't take that to mean that I'm saying that it's a dog-eat-dog world, that everyone's on their own. The federal government should very much be there in a time of emergency, in a time of crisis, because of the resources and manpower that they bring to bear. But we've gotten to the point where the day-to-day helping out a neighbor that needs help, there's nothing going on in Hutchinson, Kansas, as far as that's concerned, as far as individual neighbors and people needing help that couldn't be taken care of by the people of Hutchinson, Kansas. So you're going to say, well, if that's true, then why aren't they? And if you say that out loud, then you're not listening to what I've been saying. People have gotten busy, but the most important aspect of it is people have started to rely on the state government and the federal government to send money down and develop a program that they think is best for the people of Hutchinson, Kansas, or the people of wherever, anywhere. And it just doesn't work, and all it's done is create an apathetic attitude. Apathetic? I just make up a word?
I don't know.
No, apathy's word. Scratch that. Rewind. All it's done is create kind of a they'll take care of it mindset among way too many people. So now we don't have enough people stepping up and giving back to their community, giving back to their neighbors is maybe even a better term, to make this thing work and to accomplish it. So how do you do it? Does anyone out there care if how you do it? Does anyone? I don't know. I'm gonna get into some specifics of what I think if you went out and did with an amount of time that I guarantee you can come up with and an amount of money that I guarantee the vast majority of you can come up with that could really turn this thing around. And then we spread the word. Spreading the word is super easy now, right? Spreading the word is 1,000 times easier than it used to be. But I'm going to give you some ideas in the third and fourth segment of things that you can do that aren't huge, mind-altering, quit your job and become, you know, the Peace Corps of your local community. But we've got to do it. And we've got to do it across the board. We can't continue to ask the federal government to keep borrowing and spending for the sake of doing a job that Mother Nature, our founding fathers, and generations before us proved was our job to do, and not Washington, D.C.'s, and really not even Topeka's, not even your state capital, for those of you not in Kansas. You got any more commercials to run? Heath nods his head. You can't just nod your head on radio, Heath.
Yes.
Okay. We'll be right back with some specifics after this break.
There's no place like home. Did you know that Hospice and Home Care of Reno County is a home care agency serving a 50-mile radius of Hutchinson that will come to your home to provide services to promote physical and emotional healing and rehabilitation? This is Holly Horning, Coordinator of Rehabilitation Services. Our team of physical, occupational, and speech therapists help you function safely inside and outside your home. We help you regain mobility using exercise and pain control techniques. Whether you are recovering from a hospitalization, injury, or managing a chronic illness, we give you quality care with compassion at home. We'll teach you and your caregiver ways to help reclaim your strength and independence. Give us a call at 620-665-2473 to see how we can assist you. Home care for what life brings. Hospice and Home Care of Reno County, your local not-for-profit agency. We care how you live.
Hey, get out of the road! You get out of the road! At least my bumper's not falling off! Oh, great.
In many states, if you're a young man turning 18, you can't get a driver's license if you don't register with the Selective Service System at SSS.gov. Which means if you don't register, you could be doing a whole lot of this. KSKU. Cody Toms.
All right, we're back. Title of the show is Ask What You Can Do for Your Community. If you're just joining in, it may not make any sense. Should have been here at 7, really. But what I want to do from here on out is talk about specific examples of things that I mean, because I think there's all different types of mindsets out there. There's people that already do a ton for their community, first of all, right? I'm not saying that no one does. I am saying that more people need to, because it's not working and people have time to do a little more than they are now, including myself. I have time to do more than I am now and need to get on it. But things that you can do if you're out there wondering what you can do, my first and foremost, and the one that's in my heart and the one that I feel like that I'm involved with that has the most potential and at the same time is maybe the most fun, is Big Brothers and Big Sisters. You would honestly think by the way that I act that I'm being paid or that I'm a spokesperson for Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and it's not the case. I just really love the program. I really love the little that we have that honestly it does as much for us as it does for him. But Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Reno County, which is our home county here, has a waiting list of somewhere around 300 kids in the program that are sitting and waiting for an adult to step up that wants to be, and it's not even, understanding the program is big. Take the time and go talk to your local Big Brothers and Big Sisters, or send them a phone call, or give them a phone call, or send them an email. And you'll find out that the system is really not, it's not expensive. It costs you $0 to get involved. Quite possibly you might spend a few dollars when you go out with and spend time with your little once you get into the program. But it's this super easy, most of the time really fun, super inexpensive, and very little overall time commitment way that you can take the lessons you've learned to become an adult and help a kid learn those things. And there's all different types of kids. There's kids from genuinely bad situations all the way to kids that really aren't in bad situations, but their parents or their guardians or whoever's in charge of them just realizes that they need a little help from their community raising this kid. And to me, it's the perfect example of of a program. Now, Big Brothers and Big Sisters is a nationwide, if not international, I don't know. It's big. It's not just in Reno County, obviously. But the people here are just worried about our county. And they're worried about our kids. And they're worried about finding people within our community to kind of mentor, kind of give some good influence to these kids. And again, it's not always that they have a bad influence where they're at. It's just sometimes the people that are in charge of it have decided that they need a little help with the influencing, need a little help with the development of this youngster. And it can be so much fun. It's inexpensive. It doesn't take very much time. And to me, it's really the perfect example of attacking the problem at the root cause of the problem. And I, to be quite honest with you, it frustrates me that I personally know so many people that would be phenomenal at being a big for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And there's always a waiting list of kids sitting there. And there's even that some of those kids have got to be thinking, why have I been on this waiting list so long? And it makes me want to win the lottery and have 300 little win the lottery only because I then wouldn't have to work and I would have more time, and go be a big to all of those kids, because to me, it's the most glaring example of our community as a group of individuals not stepping up and doing what needs to be done to help the others that are right here, our neighbors in our own community. So that's my overly emphatic plea to you to please go get involved with your big brothers and big sisters in your area if you think it's in any way possible. We shouldn't have kids on waiting lists to get a little bit of our time dedicated to them while they're kids. Sad story, in my opinion. Another weird one that always comes up in my mind is the Bloodmobile. The American Red Cross and the blood that they have in store, are really the lifeline of hundreds of emergencies and crises across the United States. And I think even across the world. Yeah, the Red Cross obviously goes internationally, not the American Red Cross, but it's another one of those things that on a once a month or twice a month basis for an hour, it's amazing to me how few people go and do it, and how much they struggle to be able to provide the blood that's needed to meet the expectations of the help that they want to deliver. It blows my mind that more people don't get involved, find the time, completely free, about an hour a month. They feed you lunch. You don't have to do anything but lay there. They have great people for helping you get over the fear of needles, if that's the lame excuse that you're using to not go down there. It's one of those things that's so easy and has such a big impact, just like Big Brothers and Big Sisters, that it's almost mind-boggling to me that we let things like that get to a crisis. My vision or my thought process or my thinking of America is we should be the country where the Big Brothers and Big Sisters office is a boring, nothing happening in their place, because as soon as a kid comes in, there's actually a waiting list of adults that want to be a big. It seems to me like we have it backwards. The Red Cross should be able to reduce their marketing budget to get people to go to the Bloodmobile because we have people lined up who want to help because it's so easy, it's free, and it's such a minimal time commitment, and there's free food there. I don't get why we don't take the time to do that. I do get it. Actually, it goes back to people have too many other things, some of them very menial and meaningless. I do too. I spend time doing stupid, worthless things that my time could better be spent a million ways. And at the same time, I think Americans have adopted this mentality of, it'll be all right. The government will take care of it. We'll just borrow more money and develop a new program and figure out how to make blood. Or we'll figure out how that's the school's responsibility to take care of this kid and teach him how to grow up no matter what his home situation is. Or any number of things along those lines that I think Americans have adopted this mentality. And it's our fault, folks. It's our fault that our country is not where we all think it should be. And even if you want to come back with specifics about what the government has done and programs that they've put into place, they wouldn't have had to put those programs, those social programs, into place if we had taken care of our neighbors and not expected them to do it. They go off on their own and do some ridiculous things in Washington, D.C., but we let them because it's easier to think that they'll take care of it as opposed to us getting back to being the responsible ones, the ones held accountable for our neighbors' well-being. I talk to people in these volunteer groups. I have other notes of, you know, every community has some form of a soup kitchen that's constantly struggling. And what do they do when they struggle? They look for grants. They look for government funds. And there's probably, I don't know, there's 50 states. There's probably 50 soup kitchens per state. So 2,500. It's probably more than that. But we're going to say there's 2,500 soup kitchens across the United States. I made that up, so please don't Google it and tell me I'm wrong. Those 2,500 are now struggling, a lot of them looking for government funds. It's a great thing to spend funds on, right? No one's going to go at the government and say, hey, you're horrible for spending money in a soup kitchen to feed people that might have starved that day. It's a great way to spend money, but isn't it sad that those programs are having to go to Washington, D.C. or Topeka or their state capital to get the funding to make those things happen? If they're a good, solid program, we should be able to run them out of our community with community dollars and community manpower. I know some do. Don't come back at me with that. I know some are successful and don't use federal or state funds. But a lot aren't successful and are falling back repeatedly on having to apply for grant money from a government that's $16 trillion in debt. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have these programs. Please understand, I think they should be there. I don't want a single American to ever starve to death. But how does it make sense that a soup kitchen in a town in the middle of America is applying to for is trying to get money from an entity that's $16 trillion in debt? And again, the reason is we relied on the government. We've made it clear that we publicly expect them to solve these issues. And then the crazy thing is that you now see this surge of people that are mad at the government for spending money on these issues. I am too. I think the government should quit spending money when it's approaching $17 trillion in debt. But at the same time, we have to step up and fill these gaps or people are going to starve to death or people are going to, that it's going to get worse if we don't step up and ask ourselves, what we can do for our community. Becky McCray just retweeted out the link to the show today on Twitter. And thank you very much, Becky, if you're listening. I don't know if you're listening or if you just retweeted it. But Becky is the type of person that drives me to do shows like this, because I think that I take the time to do things for my community and do things with an unselfish mindset that are meeting my responsibilities to helping take care of my little part of the world and my neighbors. And then you see someone like Becky and you realize that, or I see someone like Becky and I realize I'm not doing anywhere near as much as I could, because she's as busy as anyone that I know with work, but at the same time does more to help the people around her and the people in her face-to-face as well as digital community as anyone I know. So thanks, Becky, and if you're listening, we all appreciate everything you do. Take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the final segment of today's show.
Have you resolved to rock a new summer swimsuit or to get your game back? If you've made a resolution to improve the way you feel, join the club, Genesis Health Clubs. Now for a limited time, there's no enrollment fee. Make this the year you start living a healthier and more active lifestyle. I'm Rodney Steven, owner of Genesis Health Clubs. We're here to provide the motivation, guidance, and expertise you need to start your year off right. At Genesis, our clean, state-of-the-art facilities come with helpful staff, world-class trainers, and the best group fitness classes around. So if you're tired of do-it-yourself gyms and uninspired activities, join the club, Genesis Health Clubs. If you're looking for the kind of place that understands how important your resolution really is, then join the club. And right now at Genesis Health Clubs, there's no enrollment fee. Oh, but you better hurry. Only 4 more days to join the club with no enrollment fee. Visit GenesisJoinTheClub.com to reserve this special offer. I'll see you at the club.
Genesis, results for life.
Man, Sonic has made quite the upgrade with these new Ultimate Grilled Cheese sandwiches.
A Philly Steak Ultimate Grilled Cheese, a BLT Ultimate Grilled Cheese.
It's like they've taken a piece of my childhood and made it way better.
They may as well be taking my teddy bear and turning it into a real bear.
Or taking my toy hot rod and making it into like a life-size hot rod.
Or taking my baseball and turning it into a real baseball.
Wait, your baseball should have been a real baseball, though.
It was a rock.
Get ready to melt the all-new Ultimate Grilled Cheese Sandwiches. This is how you Sonic, for a limited time only, participating Sonic Drive-Ins.
KSKU. Cody Talks.
All right, we're back. I was hoping, I pushed hard and was hoping that we got some social media feedback, and we've got some great stuff. If you're just joining us, the concept of the first 45 minutes of the show has been giving back to your community, and no matter what, it doesn't matter if you're a left wing liberal hippie or a right wing government hating right winger. What's the opposite of hippie? Like, if you call a liberal, left-wing liberal, a hippie, a right-wing nut job,
I guess.
I don't
reminds
know.
Me of that Jib Jab video.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter what your motivations are. The community stepping up and helping itself and making it better is good for everyone. Even if you're anti-government, then it makes the government less relevant in your community. If you're pro-government. Or a progressive, your motivation there normally is to help people. So it doesn't hurt to step out and do it in that side either. Joe on Facebook puts, if you want a better community, start within yourself. He may be yelling at me. Hopefully it's a generalized statement. If everyone was on point with their own niceties and into doing good, when someone was a jackhole, I can say that, right? I mean, that's not a bad word. It would stand out so negatively and be responded to so quickly by normal folks, then we wouldn't need to have a discussion. And then he puts in, or a bunch of arrogant cops. Great comment till the last line, Joe. Most cops aren't arrogant. You're letting the examples of a few bad ones lead to calling them a bunch. But I agree with you 100%. If you want to make things better, Start within yourself, and honestly, the people around you will follow, and it'll happen. Joe, different Joe, got two Joes on Facebook posting to the show this morning. Joe, the other Joe puts, people should realize that Big Brothers and Big Sisters is not a time-consuming venture, and you're absolutely right, it's not. The littles just want and need someone to simply include them in their regular lives. Also, there are so many businesses that offer free or discounted activities in Hutch and Wichita. Thanks for the mention of Big Brothers and Big Sisters. You're absolutely right, Joe. I love the organization, and they really do. Sometimes I have to sit down and talk with my little and make sure that he's not bored, because what he really wants is just to get involved in our normal lives. Like, we just pick him up. He's kind of become a part of the family, and we just do what we would have done if we hadn't picked him up that day. And he loves it. And he's become as sarcastic and joking as the rest of our family is. And really, it's there's almost zero work to it and zero need to spend money in a venture that you have a huge, huge impact on. Holly Thomas posted. Heath has a TV on, and there's little Asian,
kids dancing the Gangnam Style.
Little Asian twins, very, very little, barely walk, that can do Gangnam Style. So there you go. Their parents.
Sorry for getting distracted there.
That's all right. Their parents should have taken some more time to get involved in the community. Holly Thomas posted on the Cody Talks Facebook page, I would love for all of us to come together as a community to help recondition some of the dilapidated neighborhoods. Nice use of the word dilapidated, Holly. So many people with rundown houses don't have the ability or the money to do it themselves. It's a reflection on our city, but I don't think the responsibility is on the city government completely. Holly, you should have just run the show today, because I agree 100% that, you know, how many times have you been around somewhere in Hutchinson, Kansas, and it happens in every other community, and someone has said, why doesn't somebody go mow that grass at that place? Or why doesn't somebody get that house fixed up? Or, man, that building looks like crud when you drive into town. And to some extent, some of those projects can obviously get so big that a bigger entity than me and Holly and Jen, who agreed with Holly on Facebook, you know, the three of us can grab our paintbrushes and lawnmowers and go. But sometimes a bigger entity needs to get involved, but not always. And thinking that those bigger entities always will get involved, thinking that the city government, who then, when the city government decides they're going to fix something up, they go to the state government for funding. And it's not their fault. That's how the system works. But the state government doesn't have any money, so they go to the federal government and say, we've got to fix this group of buildings in town. They're falling apart. We need tax credits and funds that come out of this and this. And that's why we have $17 trillion in debt, approaching $17 trillion in debt, is because we do it now for every one of these programs. And sometimes it needs to be me and Jen and Holly with our paint buckets and lawnmowers, and take one Saturday a month and organize a group of people. And then you make that group of people grow, and you make the resources of that group of people grow. You don't need the government to go knock on someone's door and say, hey, could we paint your house? Or, hey, could we mow your lawn? Because we just want to help you out, and we want our community to look a little better. And those kind of things are the exact guaranteed proven way to get the things in this country that bug some of us turned around and going. It's not to get on Facebook and badmouth candidates and blame it on Washington. But then at the same time, the next day, you start one of these projects and go and look for federal funding to get it done. It doesn't make any sense the way we approach most of these obstacles within, because we always go back to, how are we going to get money from the government to make this thing happen? Again, I'm admitting we need a government Sometimes projects are big enough that that's exactly where the money comes from. But America has developed this mentality of every project should come there. And this kid three doors down in my neighborhood, he doesn't have a father figure or a mother figure. The government needs to develop some after school program for that kid. No, they don't. His neighborhood needs to step up, and someone needs to take on the it takes a village to raise a child mindset, because it works very, very well. And yes, you do have time, and yes, you do have the resources to help that situation out. I kind of want to finish the show by saying that I know there's folks, A, that agree with me, and B, that are already doing this. I know that Joe, the second, I don't know about the first Joe, but I know that the second Joe that posted on Facebook is very much involved in Big Brothers and Big Sisters. He's involved in helping out in schools here in town. And I know there's people that are doing this, but I know it's not enough. And the reason that I know that it's not, thank you, Joe, if you're still listening, you know who I'm talking to, and you do a great job with a lot of things around this community, and I appreciate it. But the fact that there's a waiting list of 300-ish, I don't know the exact number, 300-ish kids on the Reno County Big Brothers and Big Sisters list means that there's 300 of us out there, and this is a county of 80, 60, 60,000 people. We ought to be able to find 300 adults that are willing to eliminate that waiting list, and give 300 of our kids, 300 of the kids that are literally our neighbors in our community, the opportunity that they or their parents are looking for, to have a good additional adult influence in this kid's life. And after being involved with it for 4 or 5 years now, whatever it's been, not only do I not understand why there's a waiting list, it frustrates me. So thank you to the people that do Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Thank you to the people that do go down to the Blood Mobile, help with the soup kitchen, help all of the other programs. You can pick any program, that you want, and one that you're already passionate about, or one that you think you could develop a passion for. And we could really, across Hutchinson, Kansas, and then across Reno County, and then across Kansas, and then all across the United States, if you could get, you know, another hour a month out of every adult that possibly could, that's how we're going to make it better. And I don't want to say that's how we're going to solve it. We live in a country that gives enough freedoms that we're always going to have issues. We're going to have always going to have people that need our help recovering from something, or people that consistently need our help because of a condition that is not going to change in their life, and they're always going to need help. But it's the way to make it better. The single fastest way to quit worrying about all this government debt stuff is to not be so reliant on the government that they have to get themselves into debt every move they make. It really is the way to take care of this situation, one way to help this situation. I'll word it that way. And I hope it makes sense. I hope the conversation continues to go on facebook.com/CodyTalks or Cody Talks on Twitter, because it's something that I'm passionate about and something that I'll be willing to talk about with you there all day long if you want to. So I'm really supposed to kill like another minute and 18 seconds, but I got nothing, Heath.
Do you have a special guest next week?
I do, but we're going to make it a big surprise on Thursday who it's going to be. We also have a really cool guest. Oh, I know. You know, for those of you that don't know, we also do a web-only Wednesday show. We're live Wednesdays at 10 o'clock in the morning on Cody Talk's website. And we had a really cool education and bullying discussion last week with some actual bona fide experts in the in that realm. And we do that every Wednesday at 10 o'clock on Cody Talks. And then we really took some time off of the guest scheduling here on Sundays because of the holidays and the new year. But we are back next week with guests consistently for about 2 months. For those of you that are sick of listening to just me talk, hopefully you haven't given up on the show.
And in a couple of weeks, you're going to be gone on a Sunday. Is that correct?
I am, yeah. Not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after. What are we going to do?
We're going to do a best of Cody Talk show.
Have we done anything good enough to be best of?
Well, you know, you always have that one comedian on. He's always funny.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. All right, well, 2 weeks from this week, we'll do best of. Next week, we'll be back with a guest in studio. And check us out every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning on CodyTalks.com for the web-only shows. And also, you don't have to watch it. All the shows are archived. If you just go to CodyTalks.com and click on the show archive button, you can watch every web-only Wednesday's episode ever, and all 31 of the Sunday morning Cody Talks episodes are archived on there as well. So,
and also at CodyTalkShow.Podomatic.com.
Absolutely. We're in the iTunes, which seems big. It's really not. There's a lot of people in iTunes. My mom calls it the iTunes, like the Walmarts. But the show's on iTunes as well if you want to subscribe and download the podcast there to your iPhone, iPad, iPod, anything with a lowercase I in front of it. We're there as well. So there you go. Now we went overtime because you came in with great things to talk about that I should probably have notes and talk about anyway. So thanks for joining us today. I hope the show made sense or at least made you think. Join us on Facebook to keep the conversation going, facebook.com/CodyTalks, or on Twitter as well. We are at Cody Talks. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.